And usually when ladies, like sometimes there have been over the years, I'll go, Livia, you're going to wear that? I can't. It's the wrong season. I thought, thank God men don't have to think like that. And the Lord has given us a word that we're moving into a new season. We're moving in from the place of never, never land to the place of always, always land, where we're going to see things we've never seen happen before, have breakthrough in some places. And there's a bunch of stuff. We don't go through all that word. But that's an important word, and I hope that you're praying into it, that you'll take ownership for that in your own personal life. So when Lily was telling me this, I knew that God was saying that her hats are these new hats, this number 9 also. Everything that God is that's other is holy. That's about who he is. His power is part of his holiness. It's not just about character. And that her hats, she said, well, should I bring all of them? I said, no, wear one, a new one every week as a perpetual sign, because by the time you get through with all the new ones, we'll be pretty much in the natural into the next season. But we're transitioning into a spiritual season, and her hats are another sign and symbol of that, prophetically. Moving into the things of the Spirit at a different level of breakthrough. Okay? Yes? Amen. Praise God. And neither you nor I can wear these hats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, who's going to, when the kids want to pray for me? Anna, you want to pray for me? Yeah, you knew I was going to do that, didn't you? Amen. You know, one of the things I just didn't... Every person who met Jesus in Scripture had an encounter. And that counter was transformational. So don't ever be concerned about people having encounters. They have encounters to transform their life on a permanent basis. It's not just to have encounters to get hyped up and that kind of thing. That's not what we're after. We're after every time I do my quiet time, I have an encounter. And it creates movement in the Spirit. It causes advancement. And so we don't live just to get hyper, but encounters can do things like what Grace said, that God used that encounter. You know, could she have discovered that in her time in the Word or people? Yeah, but God used that encounter to just clear the air about some stuff so she can make movement and progress in the Lord. That's why these are important things. It's also important for us. This is not what I was going to share today. I actually was going to continue in Elijah. So we're going to have a 2-week hiatus from Elijah because next week's Lazarus Sunday, and we'll do something different then too. For those of you who were here, I guess it was Friday, and you heard the word I shared at our noon service, this will be that. I knew that at some point I'd probably do that, but I didn't know it'd be today. So I didn't really prepare for this. But through a song that Luke and the worship team played, and then just through this, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. Yesterday, Livia has a birthday. She turns 37 on Monday. And so we've had this birthday's like festival starting on Friday. And then Saturday, she went with Amelia and all the nieces and great nieces. And I think there were some great nephews there too. And they had lunch in Montgomery. So I knew that was coming. So I took yesterday just spend some time strengthening myself in the Lord. And renewing my mind about some things all day long. Listened to stuff, read stuff, just spent the whole day doing that. In light of just some things that God's been saying to us, and particularly some things that God's been saying to me, which is therefore for us. So what I'm going to share with you today, corporately, this is true personally, this is what I'm after. I was telling Olivia this last night, I said at the top of the list of what I'm going to fight for is not this. Or candles, or incense. Now, I'm grateful for because I believe that's a context in which you can encounter God. See, I like the fact as a charismatic, I can be full bore for all the freedom God wants to do, yet I still respect the beauty and the glory of God. And I think these things help us. They have some ancient stuff to it. I love that. but this is not the biggest battle I'm fighting. Now understand that I am, again, appreciate this context in which we can experience the presence of God. But at the top of the list, what I'm fighting for, contending for my own experience, and for us corporately, is that we would move from glory to glory. That's what I'm after. I mean, I don't care if I'm wearing aluminum foil, blue jeans, or this stuff. If I had to trade one or the other, I'm going after that. We're going after that. Amen? But we don't have to trade, understand me? I believe this is the context. These things, these signs and symbols, can contain the glory of God in a real responsible, maturing way. That's a different story. It's in Scripture for a purpose. But this is kind of where we're headed. This is what I want us to see. And I've asked these questions in light of, the word Lily had about holiness. When you usually think about holiness, you usually think about things like, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. And I want us to see God. I mean, God's here, but I want us to see Him. You with me? But holiness, again, means more than just that. Holiness, the word holy just means other or separate or different. Well, God's power is different than any other thing there is in the earth. God's character is different. God's purity is different. And I've thought about what you would classically think about holiness in terms of people's lives. Some of the things the kids talked about that they experienced, encountered, that would be an expression of what we usually call holiness. Just God cleansing some wrong thinking and doing some cool stuff in their life, setting some free. But also think about some of the people that we have here that we're contending for their healing. For like Kelly and for Kay, she's still going through her treatment's over, but she still has some things going on. Other people here are going through stuff. And so where are we headed in all this? What are we going after? So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, with unveiled face, behold as mirrors. Again, not in a mirror. The language here should be, we're beholding as if we're mirrors. Beholding as mirrors the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. If you read the context here, unveiled face basically just means, I understand my need. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's sort of unveiled. The poor in spirit, the theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit that says, I want this, I'm totally dependent on you to get this, and I own nothing if that's what it takes to get this. See, part of what, we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, but part of what the fear of the Lord's about is understanding that everything that's relevant in my life, you own. And I'm utterly dependent on you and your majesty and your greatness to live. Therefore, if I'm utterly dependent on you for everything, how am I going to act and react in your presence? I'm not going to disrespect somebody that I'm utterly dependent on for everything. But he says here, there's this process that we all with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, if you're going to go from glory to glory, that presupposes that you're in a place of glory before you can go into another place of glory, from glory to glory. You can't get to one place of glory unless you're in a place of glory. And the language is written here is that you go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Now, when we became Christians, we received the fullness of Christ. We've talked about that a lot. That everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus has, you and I are born into. And we were born into this reality of being in Christ, seated in the heavenly places. So I would say to you, say, you know, we ask this question, okay, well, how do I get in that place of glory so I can move from glory to glory to glory? Well, the good news is you were born into a place of glory because you're in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So you were born into the realm of glory. Glory. That's what we were created for. So that's why I read that verse to you when Jesus talked the transfiguration. Jesus said, you know, some of you here will not die until, as one gospel says, the kingdom of God comes in glory. Well, the Mount Transfiguration was a manifestation of what the kingdom of God should look like. The glory of the Lord being manifest. Us experiencing His glory. It's all about presence and the manifestation of presence. And we were created for presence. We were created to contain presence and enjoy presence and manifest presence. That's the glory of the Lord. And when He talks about moving from glory to glory to glory, I'm grateful for the glory in Christ I was born into. I can't get more of Christ. You with me? But Galatians says that Christ can be formed in me. Paul said he prayed that Christ would be formed in them. We've talked about this a little bit the last few weeks, but that word form is the Greek word to morph. That on the inside, you would begin to morph into the likeness of Christ. That which you have would begin to take form in us. We would look more and more like the presence. We would manifest more and more of the presence. We would experience more and more of the presence, that which we have would be formed in us. You don't get more, but the more that you got, the all that you got gets more of you. Alrighty? And he says here that it's from glory to glory. And again, the language is present tense, which means it doesn't stop. From glory, and every step of every advance into glory gets bigger. From glory to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory, until I lay down and sleep the sleep of death. Glory. But you should never stop advancing in glory. One of the things that we said Friday is that if we're going to move from glory to glory to glory to glory, being comfortable can't be our priority. You see, the life that Jesus lives, when you live in the glory of God, it's not always going to be comfortable. Jesus often put himself in Scripture in situations that involved a lot of risk, the possibility and the opportunity for rejection. I mean, he got crucified. So the life that he lived transcended popularity or fitting in. I remember years and years ago, we were talking about this, years ago when I first moved here and the kids were little, and we were walking across Meadowview baseball field where we spent every Saturday of our life watching kids play baseball. And I was just crying out to God for Selma. I go, Lord, what is the deal? What is the thing that holds people back in this city? And he said, there's a spirit. It's a principality. It's called fitting in. And fitting in is the biggest thing in the world that has held so many people back in Selma. I believe with all my heart, the Lord told me this week again, He said, you know, one of the reasons that I called you guys to model this pattern or this expression, this content of context of Christianity, He said to confront religious spirits. To confront religious spirits. To look weird enough to the culture here that you're confronting religious spirits. Like, what's important to you? Is it what I wear or where He is? Because if it's where He is and what He's doing, then those things become irrelevant. And isn't it funny that God would choose something that people think involves religion, their religion, to confront religious spirits? But anytime you think your deal is the only deal, everybody else's deal doesn't look like your deal, can't be God, that's a religious spirit. You've heard me say a lot of times, the meanest, angriest, nastiest religious spirit is the anti-religious religious spirit. But the life that Jesus lives is not going to be comfortable. But the good news is you have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, living in you. And you don't have to, you can go for it and know that the Holy Spirit, He'll comfort you when it gets scary. Because there are going to be times when it gets scary. If you go from glory to glory to glory. One of the things I'm praying about yesterday, just sort of renewing my mind and some stuff, just asking the Lord about the whole healing thing again. As I read and listen to good people, godly men and women, about the whole healing thing, and so here's the place I'm at. This is what I've come comfortable with. Because there's a couple of people that I have a lot of respect for. Particularly, I was just renewing my mind in and going over Scripture. And this is what I know that we're after. And whatever realm of glory we have to get in so that we see that more manifest, is that I'm after the biblical model. So if you ask me the question, does that mean, Chuck, that you believe Jesus wants to heal everybody? I'm after the biblical model. I don't have to answer that question. If we start seeing manifest the biblical model, I can live with whatever you thought, whatever theology you call that. Every person here believes in the Bible. And what it looks like in the Bible, we believe we can have. That's what I'm after. Because when you talk about, like, Timothy, when Paul wrote Timothy and he told him, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your various ailments. So what do you do about that one? I don't know. I would say, if you have a headache, we pray for you don't get healed, take some Tylenol. I mean, but I would say this, is that can you find some exceptions in Scripture where there wasn't divine healing or immediate divine healing? I guess maybe, but I can live with there being exceptions of people who don't get healed instead of living with the exception that sometimes people do get healed. You with me? That's the place of glory we're after in that realm. That we corporately will come to a place where if somebody doesn't get healed, that's the exception. And we simply go, I don't know, but take some aspirin or go to the doctor for sure. But we're after the biblical norm. So that's why when people ask me questions like, you know, what if somebody doesn't get healed? I don't go, I can't steward that grace right now. The only grace I can steward that seems biblical to me is I'm going to go after them being healed. And if we incorporate doctors and other stuff, we have great doctors here. We have some of the best doctors in Selma who come to church here. I'm certainly love doctors. I go to see doctors. I think the problem in the West is that that's become the first option among Christians. God's a backup plan just in case doctors can't heal them. And I don't know a godly Christian doctor who thinks that's the right pattern. You with me? Thank God for doctors. But I want to see manifest the biblical model. I can go after that one. I don't have to lock into somebody else's theology and try to work through all that. Every person I know that Jesus prayed for got healed. There's a bunch of people got healed in the book of Acts. And if that's what we get, then I'm happy. And I don't want to lower the plumb line. I don't want to lower the standard. When I come to church here for us corporately, my heart, my passion is that we'll experience the glory of God. But what I want to see is that we'll move from glory to glory to glory to glory. And if something happens, if we pray for somebody and they don't get well, and the question is to me, then what do you do about that? I keep beholding His glory. That's what He said. Like, how do you get from glory to glory? He says this. We all with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors. Whatever you look at is what you're going to get back. It's what it's going to give you. Beholding as mirrors, the glory of the Lord are being transformed from glory to glory. So I want to keep my eyes on glory. On the presence. And on the manifest presence. So I'm not going to entertain some conversation in my head that shows respect to the enemy. I'm not going to entertain, well, what if, again, this doesn't happen? Okay, so what do I do next? I'm going to keep beholding His glory. I'm going to keep looking at His glory. Keep beholding His glory. Because the deal is that what you're conscious of, what you're intentionally conscious of, that represents what you're going after, and what you're conscious of is what you will eventually manifest. I mean, I want to see everybody here so in the presence that if you're walking down the street and somebody walks by you, the Holy Spirit can get your attention and go, that person just had a real tragedy in their life. They're having a hard time getting past the depression. And I want you to go speak to them, pray for them, and I'll deliver them. Why not? Why not? And I find myself looking everywhere I go, and there are those places where it's not appropriate, I understand. But looking for opportunities, and if it requires audacity and boldness, Lord, do you want to pray for their healing, or do you just have a word to give to them? Because I may give a word to them that opens the door for a miracle to happen and change their life. So I'd love to see every person in this church flowing that way. That's not for a certain personality type. And again, I said this the other day, don't say that's not your thing. Your thing is irrelevant. It's His thing that we're after. And so I want to go from glory to the next glory, to the next glory, to the next glory personally, but also corporately. But we have to be very intentional about that. Are there going to be risk involved? Sure. Faith is about risk, isn't it? Are there going to be things we're not going to understand? Sure. But I refuse to settle. I refuse to settle. And I've been here now for long time, since 83. That's 35 years. And I've seen some real progress in our city, but I also see that there's still a lot of folks who are willing to settle. But glory is disruptive. And if fitting in is more important than going from glory to glory to glory, then you already lost the most important battle. You're stuck. And I don't know about you, but there's something like if the glory that I'm in is good, but there's more, doesn't it make you want more? Right? Like if you're a brownie nut, I remember back in the day before I became a responsible eater, like store-bought brownies, like because we traveled so much, I was always testing out the ones in the package, which were the best ones. And I found some really good ones. So having had a brownie, and I thought that was really good, that didn't make me go, that's it, man. I'm settling on this brownie and this brownie alone. No, it made me want to try every brownie I'd run into. And some of them were not so good. But eventually I'd make another discovery and go, that was a better brownie than the one I had last time. Now, gratefully, over the last few years, I've forgotten the names of the brownies that were really good. But the glory is like that, right? We should be moving from glory to glory. And obviously, if you're moving from glory to glory, it's not the same glory that you experience. There's more. 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 So I wanted to share this word with you just so you understand where my heart is and what I believe, where we're after. And this is the word, the scripture, it's just been sort of buzzing around in me. And don't be afraid. Will the ride get scary? Yes. But the Holy Spirit's the comforter. He didn't come to make you comfortable. He'll just comfort you when the ride gets scary. But his job is not to make you comfortable with the life that you'd like to live. See, you died in Christ, and you don't have the right to determine what kind of life you live. It's his life to live. It's his story to tell. And the story that he tells, the life that he lives, is from moving from glory to glory to glory. What's our job? Keep beholding glory. Keep glory in front of you. Keep going after Christ. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get pulled off. Keep going after it. And I believe that's what the season that we're about to go into, we're coming into, we're transitioning into already. The transition's already begun. It's already happening. Is a season of glory. Greater glory. But that's not going to be the last season. See, I don't know how far we can go in my lifetime. But what I want to do is that whenever I pass the baton on to whoever takes this in leadership, is that we're always in movement. We're always moving towards glory. And what I pass the baton to is to someone who's going to keep going after glory. Without compromise. And hopefully, my prayer is that somehow there's a momentum. I kind of think there is. Is once you become that intentional and you keep your eyes on glory, and what you're keeping your eyes on, what you become conscious of, just draws you in, that the seasons are actually going to come faster. There's a place in Scripture that talks about the seasons where they become, there's constantly actually a harvest that happens all year round. That's what we're after. The harvest that's all year round. You know the place in Isaiah where it talks about the water getting deeper, and then it talks about there's fruit-bearing trees on the banks of the river that's 12 months out of the year. That's what we're going after. Okay? Well, Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying.